This is Issues 2024. I'm Steve McIntosh, and our guest is Wichita State University Athletics Director Kevin Saul. Welcome to Issues 2024, Kevin. Nice to have you with us.
Hi, Steve. How are you? It's a pleasure to be on your podcast.
You were named WSU AD, I believe, in June of 2022. Where did you work before that? I know you have a pretty good resume.
Yeah, it's been a journey. I just started my 25th year in athletics. So I started at Kansas State. I grew up in Manhattan. Went to school at Arkansas and TCU for my undergrad, master's degree at KU. And I started working at K-State for 5 years. I was at UMKC for 2 years. And then we made a long stop at the University of Kentucky for 12 years. And then I was blessed with our first opportunity to serve as a director of athletics at Murray State University. Happened to be the time when John Morant was there, so we had a blast doing that, and then got the opportunity to come back home to the state of Kansas after 16 years in Kentucky in June of 22. So that's the quick overview.
Tell us a little bit about the scope of your duties. I know you can't tell me everything, but how many teams and coaches and players participate in sports at WSU?
That's a good question. So I think at the end of the day, our educational degrees are licenses to serve. So I'll keep it simple. We are in the development of young people and programs. It's that simple. And we do that through first-class service to our student athletes, our coaches, and Shocker Nation. That's what we talk about as our mission. Within our athletics program, we have 16 sports, 260 athletes, about 75 to 100 coaches, assistant coaches, administrative staff. So all in, we're in that 350 to 400 range if you count managers and GAs. So it's a sizable organization.
Okay. What kind of annual budget do you have to run an operation like that then?
Well, it depends on how successful we are. It varies anywhere between 23 million and 26 million. I think it would be fair to say somewhere in that 24-25 range.
So, but I would assume that much of it comes from the state, but also you have admissions to events and things like that to help with the budget too, right?
Well, it's interesting that you say that because we're doing some peer comparisons in terms of revenues and where it comes from. And I think there's a few data points that are really, really interesting. We looked at a list of 22, what I would call institutional peers. There's a few competitive peers in there like VCU, Virginia Commonwealth, George Mason, UNC Charlotte, I would say College of Charleston in that list of 22. But we lead that list of 22 in self-generated revenue, which is a combination of donors, donations, ticket sales, seat licenses, scholarship support, sponsorship and advertisements, league revenue, NCAA unit shares, basically everything outside of student fees and institutional support. We lead that list of 22. And we're certainly working through the conversations in terms of aligning resources to expectations. We're near the bottom of that list from institutional support and student fee perspective. So obviously we're trying to get to a good spot there because we all want success competitively. And at the end of the day, it is a competitive industry. We've got to align resources to expectations.
Kevin, does Wichita State have a good group of private supporters, folks, fans who put up what needs to be put up?
Humbly, a very good group. We have 122 scholarships throughout our 250 student athletes. Right, we have what are called headcount sports, where if you're on scholarship in that sport, that you are a full scholarship in that sport. Those are men's, women's basketball, volleyball, and women's tennis for us. And then we have what are called equivalency sports. And those are some sports that you might be familiar with where a baseball uses percentages of scholarships to award to young people. So baseball has a max limit of 11.7 that they can award to their student athletes. So all in, we do 122.3 scholarships. It's about a $5 million scholarship bill that we pay to the university. We pay full boat for those scholarships for our young people. And a lot of that, all of that is supported through our men's basketball seat donations that are tied to the tickets.
Wow.
And so we put a lot of eggs in the basket of men's basketball. It's incredibly important, not only for the educational support for young people in our program, but also for the operational support for 15, 16 other teams.
Yeah. Well, how just thinking about travel, because I know that's got to be a major expense. How much do you spend on travel every year, Kevin?
Travel is the second largest expenditure that we have, the first being personnel. So mm-hmm. coaches and staff, obviously, is going to be our highest. But travel is up there. Student-athlete, medical support, insurance, obviously gear, outfitting them with equipment, nutrition, recruiting. Those are all the major expense categories that exist. And when you sum them all up, if you want a really, really simple math equation, if we're a $25 million budget on 250 student-athletes, then we invest about $100,000 per student athlete in scholarship support, allocations, monthly allocations like housing and dining checks, travel, medical insurance, athletic training support, sport strength and conditioning, our coaching staffs, all of those elements.
My wife has actually worked in a university athletic department for an AD, and I can tell you, or I can tell our listeners, and you can tell them, you can't do this all by yourself. There's a lot of organization here, and you got to have some staff, right?
No question. And it feels like with the climate of intercollegiate athletics now, that staff is expanding, you know, whether it's additional compliance support. We have added 1.5 FTEs, full-time equivalent employees, in the performance and mental health area for our student athletes. Here in the last 2 or 3 years, that's been critically important. Our certified athletic trainers that keep our student athletes healthy, but also run them through the prehab and rehab for injury prevention, and then obviously injury rehab. Mm. So there's so much to what we do. We basically boil it down in athletics. We have 4 divisions, if you will, within athletics, and we have an associate athletic director or a senior associate athletic director that oversees each division. The first is our student athlete services division, which oversees strength and conditioning, sports medicine, academics, compliance, and student athlete development. So career skills, life skills, those elements. The second one is our finance and administration. So that's our budgets, our accounts payable, accounts receivable, contracts, all the business side of what we do. We have an operational side that is facilities, event management, capital projects. So all of the maintenance upkeep, but also the construction of new facilities and projects that we have going on. That's a division. And then we have an external division that includes our storytellers, our fundraising and development folks, marketing, our digital content creation, along with our marketing team. We've got a lot of folks in that external area that are obviously telling the story and helping us to acquire resources to meet the expectations and fund what we do.
Now, this is going to seem like a strange question to you, but for casual listeners out there who may not know a whole lot about college athletics, what is NIL? What is name, image, and likeness?
Well, yeah, absolutely. I think the simplest way that I've found to educate, and we started here, obviously, in July of 22, and not a value statement, just fact. The previous administration here just didn't want a whole lot to do with NIL at Wichita State. It was enacted in July of 21. So by the time I had gotten here in July of 22, we really had very little on the table. And I was coming from Murray State, and we had spent from May of 21 through the time that I departed to come to Wichita State setting up the infrastructure and educating people. So when I walked in, I expected there to be some infrastructure in place and some education. That was not the case. So we spent literally from July of 22 through December of 22 educating on what NIL is, what it isn't. We've got a website that explains the history of NIL. on GoShockers.com. We've set up the infrastructure for our student athletes to be on a marketplace to connect with businesses. But what I would say, Steve, is the simplest explanation is if you rewind, man, what's it been now? 25 years ago when I graduated and finished being a student athlete, the rules were such at that point in time, it was very difficult for student athletes to have jobs. Based on time commitments and also based on compliance, because there was a lot of wrongdoers paying student athletes for work that wasn't done and those sort of elements back then. And so it was difficult to get a job. So I would use this example. If I was in a hypothetically, I have no artistic talent whatsoever, but let's just say I was in a class in the College of Fine Arts, and there I had a classmate that could go down to the local restaurant on a Friday night that was a piano player, really talented, skilled piano player, could go play the piano for that restaurant for a couple hours on a Friday night, maybe make $100. We could not do that as student athletes. We could not leverage our name, our image, or our likeness into earnable cash back then. That's what the rule was. And so throughout the course of my 25-year career, Steve, there have been plenty of occasions where we've had to ask student athletes to discontinue certain activities. I can remember one specifically at one of our previous institutions where we had a student athlete that was a very talented barber, was giving haircuts to others and was marketing and promoting that through various means, and we had to put a stop to it because it was against NCAA rules. And so when you hear about name, image, likeness, in its simplest form, it is the ability to generate revenue off of your name, your image, your likeness, and your talents outside of your sport. And so it's a great development. It's a good development for our student athletes. Where it has taken a wrong turn is that it has ceased to become it has ceased to be NIL, and it is more being recruiting inducements and retention inducements. Where it's flipped. It's not earned, it's given. And that's where we have a problem as an industry and an enterprise, is that we have young people that are being afforded dollars, offered dollars by wrongdoers in the industry, and or agents representing young people asking for dollars to come to your institution. That's not what NIL is. So at the end of the day, it's an opportunity for our student athletes to use their talents to create some revenue. We're going to continue to push that, obviously, here within athletics. We've got a great partner in Armchair Strategies. And the three guys that are running that have all crossed paths with Wichita State athletics and the university throughout their college career and their professional career. Tyler, Timber, and Matt. Tyler and Timber were both baseball players here, and Matt was a fundraising and development officer here at one point in time. So the two primary goals, Steve, has been to maintain the institutional integrity and the eligibility of our student athletes. We've got good partners to do that, and we've made some good progress despite the fact we were behind about a year.
You're listening to Issues 2024 on the Odyssey radio stations, and our guest is Wichita State University Athletic Director Kevin Saul. So I guess what you're saying, that Kevin, is these young people are not on their own dealing with people who want to offer the money, but you've got a pretty good handle on just exactly how it's done. Is that right?
We certainly understand how it's being done, and we also understand that given the current NCAA rules, the athletic departments cannot create the NIL deal, can't broker that deal, and cannot route funds from a third-party business to a student-athlete. That's all on the student-athlete. Now, we can advise and we can educate on taxable income, and we can do all those things. Now, what I would tell you, Steve, is over the course of the next probably 3 to 6 months, I think you're going to see a loosening of the NCAA's guidelines to where name, image, likeness is likely going to fold even more underneath athletic departments. And so what could that look like? Well, if we have a expanded role in that arena, then we could connect name, image, likeness through our sponsorship and multimedia rights arm of Athletic Shocker Sports Properties. So I'll give you an example. Let's just say Shocker Sports Property has an agreement with Eddie's Toyota in town here in Wichita. They do sponsorship at various events and different activations, there could be an add-on to that where we include a student athlete in a commercial or an autograph signing session or whatever the case may be, an employee function. And there could be a portion of those dollars that are peeled off and given directly to the student athlete. Mm-hmm. So that's kind of where I see that potentially going. And then we also might be able to recognize direct donations from our donors to NIL through our priority point system and our donor ranking system. So we're not there yet. That's not permissible just yet, but I think that's where it's headed.
You know, something else that is relatively new, at least to me, is the way athletes are continually changing schools. Probably a good thing for the athletes, but what about the school and the fans? What's your take on that?
Yeah, that's certainly been a challenge. I think we talked before we got on the show together here just briefly about my experience as a young person growing up in Manhattan, Kansas, and we all recall and remember the days of a young, inexperienced, unproven freshman coming in and developing into a solid team leader or an all-conference player or better yet, an All-American over the course of 3 or 4 years. And I think those days are likely behind us for good, to where the four-year student athlete is probably looking more like a 2 or 3 year student athlete. If you've got an opportunity to keep a young person for 2 or 3 years, certainly think that's good. And, you know, at the end of the day, I think there's some adjustments and that causes some angst for folks. And it's understandable that from that perspective. Steve, I don't have as much an issue with the freedom of movement because I believe we need to create a student athlete experience. Our young people don't want to leave. And we're certainly working towards that effort. What I'm concerned with is the whole development process within athletics. We believe strongly at Wichita State that we're here to develop young people through first-class service. And how do we develop them? In this order, as students first, as people second, as players third, and that's typically where ADs are going to stop, right? They're going to talk about the classroom, they're going to talk about the person, and they're going to talk about in the court or the arena. I think we actually need to connect our young people to jobs. So for me, it's student, person, player, and professional, which drives our career and professional development program that's called Shocker Life, because I believe we're developing young people into leaders of character, competence, and consequence, not just for athletics, but for life. And so those pieces are really, really important to what we do in that development in that area. So I think college athletics is hard, right? You're going to walk out of practice one day and you're going to think, man, my coach doesn't like me. Or you're going to think, man, I don't know if I'm cut out for this level, man. I was a really good player in high school, and now everybody's the best team, the best player on their previous high school team, and I'm not sure how I stack up. And we've all had those experiences in life where you're forced to look internally and say, okay, what am I willing to do as an individual to grow and develop? And that's uncomfortable, right? There's discomfort in growth and development at any stage of life. And so we've got to get our people used to being uncomfortable. We got to get comfortable being uncomfortable, because that's where the growth happens. Now, the problem is that you have a transfer portal that some will look at as an easy out when it gets uncomfortable. And some will look at it externally as opposed to looking internally to say, what do I need to do to get better? Well, and we tell our young people, and it doesn't stop them from going in the portal, but at the end of the day, we tell our young people, guess what's on the other side of that portal? Hard, uncomfortable development. You're not going to escape that through the portal. And this is a good place with good people, and obviously we want you here. So we'll continue to pour in resources to create a student-athlete experience that our Shockers don't want to leave. Now, that's the best way to focus our energies.
The campus out there has changed dramatically just the past 10 or 15 years, but one thing that's the place where so many football games were played, the old football stadium, pretty much gone now. Tell us about the new facility. What's that going to be like?
Yeah, absolutely. If I could maybe take a 30 seconds to address your first point. Steve, I had not been on the campus of Wichita State University when I walked into the building in June for the press conference, when we were blessed with the opportunity to come here as AD. I'd not been on campus prior to that since 2004 when I was working at Kansas State. And so you start to see this innovation campus, and I think every university would tout an innovation campus, but we've got 16 partnership buildings on campus on the former golf course. I think we have over 60 businesses that are involved, Spirit, Airbus, Deloitte, you name it. And it's a really unique model. And I think, Steve, it puts us on the cutting edge of higher education. And I believe our applications, our admissions, and our enrollment are reflecting that we're on the cutting edge of higher education, because you have young people that can come in to Wichita State. They can be pursuing their academic endeavors, right? They could be a student in the College of Engineering, and they could hook up with Spirit or Airbus on campus, or Go Create, or you name it, and they can get applied learning experience. Well, not only are they getting applied learning experience that they can put on a resume, they're getting paid to do it, which means they're leaving here with less debt. We all understand, in fact, today's news about the relief of student loan debt. They're going to leave here with less debt. They're going to have experience. And because the talent pipeline is so strained, they're likely going to leave here with jobs in the companies that they've been spending the last few years of their time on. So the last thing I'd say about that is in 2022-23, we had a little over 6,000 students involved in that applied learning program, and they earned a collective $30 million. So I truly think we are on the cutting edge of higher education here at Wichita State, and I think that's really, really good. So back to your second question on formerly Cessna Stadium. Man, as we know, the football program was dropped in the mid-'80s, and that facility has been home to our track and field program. It's certainly been a conditioning space for all of our teams with the bleachers on both sides. And I applaud President Muma for his vision of seeing something different there. We talked about it during the interview process. We envision about a 14,000-seat, seating 360 degrees around the facility, combined track, soccer facility, community facility as well. We have visions of hosting Wichita School District 259 football games of the week, soccer games of the week. We have visions of USA track and field events there, junior nationals. We plan to submit a bid for the national championships and NCAAs there. So it's going to be a concert venue as well. It's a really exciting project. There's three phases of it. We demoed the east side bleachers in the summer of 23, and we will begin after state high school track this June of 24 to build out the east side and change the event level. It'll be a 9-lane competitive track on event level with a soccer field in the middle. We do have plans to add women's soccer as an intercollegiate varsity sport at Wichita State, likely in the fall of 27. So we're excited about that piece as well. But, you know, I think that facility is long overdue to kind of hit the reset button, understand how we can serve our community. It really needs to be a community asset. And I think we have an opportunity to do that in a really unique way. Steve, the last thing I would say to that is previous institution that I worked at the University of Kentucky, when we walked in 2007, we were hosting one or two state championships. And we got to know over the course of 5 or 6 years the High School Athletic Association, the state of Kentucky, and their folks. And we talked about the $250 million in facility and capital improvements that we were making in athletic facilities. And over time, we were able to acquire about 8 or 9 championships. We got all 6 divisions of the football championship on one weekend in the football stadium on campus. We were able to obtain baseball, softball, track, tennis, all those things. And, well, we're hosting championships here at Wichita State.
Best of luck to you out there in Shocker Country, and I hope you have a great success. Thanks for being with us. Our guest is
Steve. I appreciate the opportunity to be on the show, and we could talk for hours. So yeah. Thanks for the opportunity.
Our guest, Wichita State University Athletics Director Kevin Saul. And that's all for this edition of Issues 2024. We'll be back next week. Thank you for listening. I'm Steve McIntosh.